Okay, well, correct. Somebody is wearing here, and somebody is wearing here, so we're going to start. But let's open in prayer.
Okay.
And dear Heavenly Father, we hope that you bless this time for us and open your word to us and open our minds. And Lord, you just show your hand and guide us, because you do it very mercifully. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to do a little review, since not everybody was here. Most of you were, some of you were, and a little less than half of you were here today. I started in the beginning, with chapter 1, verse 1. God created, and we discussed about how, what was the beginning? Well, it's the beginning of his creation. What's that? Genesis 1:1. You don't have to go far. So it tells you clearly, God created. But with him creating, he created the heavens and the earth. But I look at things a little differently. And I stated very plainly last time that I believe he created belief. Because without belief in the beginning, and believing that, the rest of this is null and void. So your beginning is your belief. If you believe what God has inspired people to write, and believe that this is his word, and this is how he said it happened, so you have to believe it happened that way. And it's just, Jesus even said it to the guy on the cross, that he believed him, and he would be in his father's house that day. It starts with belief. So, yeah, he created the heavens and the earth, but he also told us, it didn't really tell us, but we got to search it and look, that we have to believe it. And that's what I get out of this. And it's in the very beginning of the book. It's in the first few words that if you don't believe, and that's what I believe the beginning is the beginning of our belief. Because the words here tell you exactly what he did, but if you don't believe his words, there's trouble. It's you're going to pick and choose what you believe God says he did. And I just really have an issue with when they try to change it. But I don't want to harp on it. So,
hey, Mike,
yes.
Thing is time.
Time. What was time?
Time was created.
Yeah, and time was created. There was everything. Everything was, but it's in the beginning. And you look at everything as it goes, but you've got to believe that God did it. So it's the time, think everything. Everything that happened was created. And the first words, gate started time.
We have to believe that God was the eyewitness. He was the only eyewitness.
Yes.
He was the only one there. So you either believe him or you, there was no secondary person to give you an eyewitness account of the creation.
No. So if you do, that's why I say you have to believe it. It's God's word. He's telling us what happened.
It's to somebody, and they wrote it down. I believe that.
Yes. Okay. We also talked about, okay, God created the heavens, and he created the earth. You know, the earth is kind of in the heavens, right? So, but he specifies that he created earth. You hear all them talk about extraterrestrials, and he didn't say he created earth and some other another planet way over there. No, he created earth. Earth brings us to what he's focusing on. It's centered. It's the heavens and the earth. He's focusing on earth. Why does he focus on earth? But he'll tell us. 'Cause he only he tells he spoon feeds us like little babies, and he tells us, he gets into it, why we he focuses on earth. Because then, in the next verse, he gets into let there be light. Well, if you read scriptures, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is referred to light quite a few times. So, did he let Jesus' light shine? I don't know. I believe that's what he was doing. Because if you go back into, what was that, Revelations
21.
If you go back to Revelations, see, and I don't mark everything because I know people would like to look it up too. And 23, 25.
What chapter again?
Revelations 21:23.
Verse 23.
Well,
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Because it says, the city had no need for the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated it. It tells you right there that that's what I get out of it, is that he's referring to the light of Jesus illuminating the world. And that's what he started with. He started with a perfect light. But he changes. He changes it. So, and this is a review. We're reviewing what we did last time because some of you weren't here. And then he goes to say, so the evening and the morning were the first day. And I specified it last night. It said evening and morning, not evenings and mornings. Because if you look, he created the heavens. He calls them singular, out and plural. We don't have to add S's and subtract S's from it, but he tells us specifically. So if there is an evening and a morning, that's what we depict as a day. So all the people that say that was 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years or whatever they say, they're contrary to what God's telling us. Because he very clearly tells you evening and morning. And then we went on to say on verse 6 about the firmament. The firmament, what is it? What's the firmament? Or expanse. What, okay, what's the expanse? But he goes, and if you just read there and you stop, that's it, you get it. But he actually starts and he tells you later on in the firmament what he's saying. And God called the firmament heaven. So is the firmament just heaven, or is the firmament, what do people look at as heaven from earth? Everything above earth, the sky, the outer space, all this stuff that's out there that we're just learning now, that's been out there forever, because God created it all at the same time. So, and does that is the firmament what separates outer space from heaven? We're not to know. Because he doesn't tell us exactly what the firmament is. Except for the firmament, God called the firmament heaven. So, tells you what it is. It's heaven. The firmament's heaven. And that was the second day. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. Okay, so now the firmament's heaven. And under the heaven is, he's gathering water. Well, where did he gather the water? On earth. He gathered the water. Yep. because he tells us. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth. So he gathered waters under the firmament together and created dry land. But we have a planet, and it's to this day called earth. And the ground we walk on is earth. He confirms, it's been 7,000 years, 6,000 years, 5,000 years. It's been called earth the planet and earth the ground that we walk on. He shows us in his word exactly that it hasn't changed. He hasn't not changed what he calls earth. But, so he takes a planet and calls it earth and takes the ground. And it's the focal point of what he's doing. But we're not there yet. Because God, and I'm not God, I don't fully understand it. I'll be the first one to say I don't fully understand why he did it, because after he creates the earth, he brings up the seed, all the herbs, the trees, everything in the thing. He does that, and then the next day he says, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens and divide the day and the night. So he created all the planets, all the plants and everything before. But what people say is, well, it takes so many years to grow this and that, but you had the perfect light before this. So what would take 1,000 years could have took a day. But Jesus is the light of the world. And he shined, and he was so bright that everything flourished in that daytime, that things that would take years took seconds, or it just was the way it was. But I think he created the earth and he filled it. And he lets it keep filling. He lets the world keep filling with stuff, with his grasses and his trees and herbs, and he does it without saying anything, because he started the system, just like he started a lot of the other ones. Okay, we talked about the sun and the moon and the stars, and if you think about the sun, the moon, and it says, in my version, it says, he made the stars also. And that was a second afterthought. Because we use the stars for a lot of things. Navigation wouldn't have been possible at night without stars. So he created the stars knowing that later on man was going to use them. At first, did man have a lot of use for the stars when he was in the garden? No. But God wasn't building the world for the short run. God was building the world for the long run, for his plan. And that was the... I'm losing myself now. The fourth day. And on the fifth day, God... Okay, this is where I think we took off, isn't it? Okay. So I'll start reading. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of heaven. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moved, with which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So that the evening and the morning was the fifth day. And it's amazing when he says, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. God created them, but he creates something that's living. And We don't know how he did it. When he said it, for they're all just birds in the sky. And I believe that's what there was. I believe he doesn't have to tell us because that's what he said. And it's very easy to look and think, well, he could have created a few. Because look at Noah's day. He started out with two of each and multiplied the earth. I don't think he did that. Because the one thing I believe is my God will never fit in a box. You can't keep him contained to what? The amazing thing, and I heard Bob Daugherty's brother talk on creation, and he says, the thing was, you know, he could have done that all one day. He could have done it all one day by his word. But he didn't. And the reason why, if everything was done in one day, you wouldn't see the purpose. At least the purpose that I see when I look at this. And that was the fifth day. And then, on verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle, according to its kind, and everything that creeped on the earth according to its kind. God saw that it was good. You know, he created everything. He said it, and it's created. But here's where the monkey wrench comes in. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have a domination over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and made them be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have domination over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on earth. Where did we just get the most information about what he created? The most information is about man. All the other stuff, he said it. But man, he goes into depth about how he created it. And then he tells that he does it so he has dominion over the earth. So, everything to this point, God made for man. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts, the herbs, the sun, the moon, the stars. He made everything for man. And nothing in here tells you that it was specifically for man. I believe that in the beginning, and if you believe it, that he believed, was in the beginning that he created it, that it's what God did. And the reason why God did it is because man, he did this for man. And he did this for man. The man, he grew the tree that the sun was going to hang on. He created the men that were going to put his son on the tree. And he did this all before time, before we even had a thought of it. And he was creating it. He made everything so that that was possible to happen. And it was going to happen exactly how he said it. And he did this in the beginning. Does anybody have any input on that? Does anybody see anything a little different? I mean, okay, I'll go to verse 29. God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be food. Also to every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning on the sixth day. And if you listen to our, what are they, archaeologists that dig up these animals, say, these dinosaurs were big carnivores. They had sharp teeth. It's not what I'm reading here. And people, well, that proves that it's wrong. Well, no, no, no. God, they may have chewed on wood, and that's part of what he grew. They don't know, and they will never, ever say it's anything different. We don't know why, how he created things and why he created things for each individual purpose. But people are great to say they know. How much do they really know? I mean, you can read the Bible over and over. It has a different meaning every time you read it. And it's good because God, that shows you're growing with God. Does anybody have anything on that? Okay, we'll go. And my chapters, I don't look at, you got 6 days here, but we know there are seven. And my chapter, I actually moved chapter 2 down, what's that? Down the beginning of the 8th verse, because I believe this is all. So thus, the heavens and the earth and all of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. He rested on the seventh day. For all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now, I've heard quite a few talkings and about the seventh day. And God rested. And it was something that the human body does need. People try to not do it. People fight it and say, oh, I can go and work and work and work. But if you look at people that have done that and what they look like after 8th day, you can see the change in people's demeanor right away. It shows. God said it, it's true. He made the day of rest for a reason. Now, that's not saying that you can't do anything. I mean, that's what the Jewish law says, the way I look at it. But it's good to take a rest. And that's what God wants you to do. It's not mandatory, but it's good. And you do feel refreshed after a rest. You know, how many people like going on vacation because they don't work for a time? You know, that's why is that? And do you feel better? Until the alarm clock goes off the next day. But, but that's what the rest is. It's rest. It's rest from work. And it's good. God likes to see people resting from work. Does anybody have anything on that?
I think they've done
that
sometimes in studies on that.
How many days you can, you know, go without, and the truth is that the productive of the week you might be doing is on the side of the clock. It's dangerous for the body, and it's dangerous for whoever you're working with. It definitely has an effect on the body when you're working too much. It shows. It's not something that's hidden. And then just for people that don't believe, this is the history. He tells us again. This is what I said. This is the history. He doesn't say, you know, I created, I'm done. No, he's telling, he says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that God made the earth and the heavens. For any plant of the field was in earth, and for any herb of the field was grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Yeah, but if you read science, if you, it's impossible for the mist to come up from the earth, because the earth wouldn't be a solid, solid enough place.
Well, but it does say back in Texas that he divided the water above from the water that was below. Yeah. So you get this. I mean, I'm picturing an earth in the middle of those two, and the water's under the earth actually. And if you, I mean, I went out this morning and I don't know that it rained last night, but I tell you, I was in the garden and my that ground was so wet, and every plant I put more in the dirt had been watered, but every plant that was sitting out in a pot had not been watered. You know, you can't suck up water from cement that's sitting on the wall. But it can. If you put, so there is a there's a vapor above a canopy or something that's created in the earth before it started to rain, and he must have had waters under the earth, the springs of water, because it talks about springs of water various places in the Bible. I mean, I imagine that the earth, if they were there, how he watered the whole garden. That's what gets first rain.
But he does it then. But if you go through science now, the earth could not sustain itself with a mist.
Oh.
Yeah, and so if you look at it from science point of view now, they take what they see now and apply it then.
This is
pre-flood. Yes, well, some people don't believe in a flood. So you have the thing is they doubt this, so they doubt that, and they doubt that, and they doubt this, and you just go keep going through it. And but if you look at what God says, but he starts in the beginning in the what's that, verse 4. This is the history. He's telling it that this is what happened. And that's where belief, you believe it or not, this is what I'm saying to you. And this is what you're getting. So you can believe it or not. Because he did. The crazy thing is, he gave us a free will. And man, does man use his free will. But the free will was for us to come to God or go away. Not. The free will either brings us closer to God or it takes us further away. And that's what our free will is. But when he tells you what he did, and he specifically tells out that this is the history, you better believe it's the history, because that's exactly what he's saying to us. So, and then we get into the verse where of all God's creation, he tells us exactly what he did. Never before does he tell you. Because it'd be in the beginning of the other one, and then he said, God, verse 6 in chapter 1, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then you go here, chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He never once tells you that he formed anything. He spoke and it was there. And then you go to in the very beginning. The earth was without form. So, he never formed any of that. But he actually tells you that he formed man from the dust of the ground. He took dust, common dust, earth, and he made man from the dust. And breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living being. This is why I believe God created everything. God took the time to tell us what he did to man. He doesn't tell us anything else about any other, but exactly what he did. He spoke all everything else, but he formed man. And with being formed, I believe he prepared. Everything else was created before man. He prepared everything for man. And but the worst part about it, he knew that man would destroy it. He made everything perfect in the beginning. Because if you look at it, he made the sun. He made let there be light. And then he made the sun later on. So why did he change the sun? And we read that it was needed. But the thing I skipped. Let me see. Okay. In Revelation 21:1. He separated the earth. He made the waters separate so the earth could appear. And in Revelation 21:1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. From the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. Also, there was no more sea. He took the sea and parted it for an earth, for dry ground. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there is no sea. We don't need it anymore. He created everything for man, the way I say it. He created everything for man, what they needed. When we get to the end of the story, he takes the things we don't need away. We don't need the sea, because if you really think about it, what is the sea? And a quote from Bob Daugherty's brother, I can't remember his name, I'm bad with names. What, Jim? Yes, you're right, it is Jim. Jim Daugherty. He said, all the sea is a big toilet. But it's the truth. Where does everything go from here? Everything travels down the water. When you get a great rain, it all travels down, washes down, and it gets into the streams. It washes the streams down into the rivers. The rivers go into the bay. The bay takes it down into the sea. So where's all our junk go? So. Well, it does go there, but it goes past it. So.
Is it the Chesapeake Bay runoff?
Yeah. The watershed and but that's what the design of it is. So we don't need it. There's going to be no sea because we don't need it. Why? Because it's going to be perfect. He's created everything in the beginning that we need to live on the earth. And if you take what's in here and you read it, it's very plain that man, he did it all for man, with the knowledge that his son was going to be a man. And did that turn out? It turned out good for us. But his son suffered for us. And if you put that in perspective with his creation and him telling you how perfect he made it, and then realize why he made it, it's a very eye-opening fact. Does anybody have anything on that?
Somebody that did, and I was listening to something that when God formed man, Adam, out of the dust of the ground, he formed him like a craftsman. He had in mind a body. He was preparing a body for his son to inhabit, like for his wife to go, you know, to inhabit. For the Spirit of God to cause, I mean, in us, it was in Adam, when he breathed from the breath of life, but that he has already, he was preparing a body when he prepared the body of. So all the time, I mean, we say, oh, the body's nothing, it's good. It is wrong, and it's been very corrupted. But he had it in mind when he made it, the Spirit of Christ himself, you know. And I thought that was really good. I've been thinking about that ever since I heard it.
But if you also go to the book of Revelations, it also tells us we're going to be given a new body. And just like everything else, it's going to be perfect. Just like he's the light we're going to have. There's going to be no sea because we don't need it anymore. You're going to have a new body, which is going to be perfect with God. But God's given us something that isn't going to fail. I mean, look at, I know as a guy get older, it just makes it tougher and tougher. And then what I used to do, I look, man, what I used to do when I was 20, I can't even do half of it. What I used to do in an hour, I can't do half of it today. But that's just the way it is, and that's age. But God's going to take all the stuff that he created here, and he created for a reason for man, and he's going to perfect it at the end, because he couldn't give us perfection in the beginning, because we'd only ruined that too. So he gave us a corruptible body because we are corruptible. And well, yeah, the body, yes, but at first the body lived 800. Yeah. What's that? The oldest? 1,024 years. What's that? 969 years. Somebody lived 969 years. That was pre-flood, because the world was a different place. The world was a better place, the atmosphere and the God. But the man was doing what man does with everything. He was fouling it up. And if you think about it, everything that man has touched, and God knows that. That's why he couldn't give us a body to last forever. 959 years or whatever, that's nothing to what he's going to give us. And so you take that body that he made, yes, it's going to be a body that perishes. Oh, I'm sorry. My wife is giving me the signal. I got to wrap it up.
Hey, Biden can run for president when we get our new body.
Yeah. But that, I mean, anybody has anything to say on it, I like to hear it, because I like.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about living 900.
Yeah, I saw. Oh. Nah, and the bodies were different. Even if it. Bodies.
You say that because, like, it's.
Oh, yeah. But it was perfect. Everything pre-flood was so much better. It was God's design, and man was man. I mean, it didn't even last into the second generation before man showed man's real nature by killing his brother. So it doesn't go that far that man will. Man is tough on this world.
I also heard something like this. God designed man for the spirit. The earth for man, and man for God. Something like that. Something like that, you know. When God made man, he made him to inhabit his spirit. But he made the earth for man to inhabit. But ultimately,
but that's my take on in the beginning. And I mean, I condensed a lot of stuff in the beginning because we had it the week prior. Some of you were here, some of you weren't. But it's God's way of telling us, the way I look at it, is he gives us a lot of stuff in a very short stretch. And you believe it because God said so, or you don't. And that's an important thing, is we believe what God says. That's it. Nobody. All right. Let's close in prayer. Does anybody want to close us in prayer? Or you want me to ramble on more? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just hope that this word was by you and for you, and that I didn't mess it up too much. And that people do what people should do, is think. Think about you and your word and bring it to life. In your name pray. Amen.